Hello, this is Zoe Rath, Director of Inner Compass, and I'm very excited to introduce Megan Bromley from Red Balloon, who's going to talk with us about their amazing corporate culture. In fact, an interesting fact about their corporate culture is that they have been voted the best place to work by BRW since its inception, which I think is remarkable. So thank you so much, Megan, for coming to the call today to share with us your amazing secrets on culture.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So if you could tell us a little bit about you and your very interesting title and role at at the company and what you do and how that all works, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, sure. So I've been with Red Balloon since 2008, so just over 6 years now. And my title is the Head of Employee Experience. And most other people could align that role to the Head of HR. But the reason it's Head of Employee Experience and just the simple term and language of employee experience is, for me, I'm not a big believer and fan of the word HR or human resources, because for me it shouldn't be about how people are used as as resources within organisations, rather than how they experience their days at work. So my role encompasses everything from recruitment to training to work health and safety to office management to people management conversations to all the fun stuff as well, in terms of the way that we celebrate and recognise our people as well. So it's a very generalist role, and in a nutshell I could say that I'm responsible for all our people practices across the business.
Fantastic. And I just love that very particular and specific and deliberate use of language to really, that sort of is a really important cultural symbol, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there is
in a lot of organizations, people refer to HR as the department that does a lot of admin and the place where, you know, people get hired and then they get fired. And for me, that's a very simple but old stereotype definition of HR. And through the wording and use of, you know, how employees experience their days, it makes it a much more well-rounded conversation. It's about the whole person, not just the 9-to-5 person that comes to work.
And I suspect that's one of your secret sauce ingredients to why you've been voted one of the best places to work.
I am sure it's a contributing factor, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the actual culture itself. Can you explain to me what it's like, how your people would describe it, how it's cultivated, just try and put some tangibles on such an intangible. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So really interestingly, I wasn't thinking about the interview, but I think subconsciously a couple of weeks ago I'd asked all our people, you know, how would you describe Red Balloon as a place to work? Is it just a fun place to work, or what more is it? And I've created a little bit of a word cloud, and some of the words that sit on there are forward-thinking, ever-changing, collaborative, encouraging, happy, inspiring, awesome, exciting, rewarding. So that's just probably a snapshot. And these are the words that have come from people that have worked at Red Balloon from, you know, anywhere from six months up to 5 years. And there's a lot of similarities in a lot of that language. And for me, there's probably three things that set the foundations for our culture at Red Balloon. And that is all about trust. So trust is implied when you start at Red Balloon. So you are given trust to deliver in your role and to essentially do what you say you're going to do. The second part of the foundation would be our values. So we have 5 very clearly defined values at Red Balloon, and they underpin the recruitment process that we have, the way that we recognise our people, and also our performance management system. And we don't have them plastered all over the walls. We don't have post-it notes. We don't have the meeting rooms named after the values. But instead, people live and breathe the values on a daily basis, whether it be amongst colleagues or whether it be with conversations with suppliers or customers. You can constantly hear the hum of the values being lived throughout the organisation. And the third thing that underpins that is people. So, you know, we want people that want to come and work at Red Balloon that want to be challenged and that are happy to be challenged and to stretch themselves, but also know that coming to work and to be happy at work isn't kind of some obscene thing that sits in the future that's not tangible. So we know that productive employees equal happy employees, and through the people that we recruit, linking back to the values and then also that implied trust, kind of the real foundations that set the culture in motion.
So I'm curious about this part, about what you just explained there, is the articulating the values into behavior, and it's integrated into all your processes. Can you walk us through how you actually did that? Was it a mapping exercise where the values were picked and behaviors identified and that was integrated? Could you just tell me a little bit about how that came to be?
Yeah, so when I arrived at Red Balloon, so just over 6 years ago, the values were already in place, and I think Red Balloon's the first organisation that I've ever worked for where the values are actually lived and breathed on a daily basis and they're not stuck on walls. That's why I'm a little bit anti-sticking anything on the walls with that kind of sense. From many years ago, so not long after Naomi had started the business, and from a few very early on team members, the values were created out of stories that were happening within the business. So, for example, our generosity value happened with a particular instance with one of the customers, and that's how the legend of the generosity value was born. Naomi used to work for some very big corporates, and when she started Red Balloon, she wanted a business that she wanted to enjoy going to work in. And I think that's what's attracted me so much to work at Red Balloon, and it has kept me here for so long as well, because the values start from the top, and it's kind of a top-down, bottom-up approach with the values, that they're spread out across the whole business.
I just love that story that, yes, it's top-down and also organically generated through the organization, and that it came through the legend of an interaction with a customer. That's very unusual.
Absolutely.
I mean, Given that occurred at the beginning, do you still have new experiences that generate new values, or are they new experiences that reflect these existing values?
Yeah, definitely the latter. So absolutely. So one of the ways that, you know, the values remain top of mind throughout the business is on a monthly basis. We have what we call the monthly Oscar, and this has been going for many, many years at Red Balloon, and it's about collecting, so it's a peer-to-peer recognition system, and it's hosted through our online platform called Red Hot Rewards. And peer-to-peer, you can nominate someone for living the values. So, for example, I might nominate my assistant, or I could nominate any other colleague in the business who I've seen demonstrate the values. So there is a constant thread of new stories that come to life of people living the values. And at the monthly company meeting, an Oscar winner is chosen based on how they've lived and breathed the values. And we also have an annual values award. So at the end of each calendar year, in amongst all our Christmas celebrations, we award one person who kind of epitomised living one of the five values.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the Oscar literally has an Oscar statue. There could be one or two or three winners per month. It depends on the quality and the number of nominations that come through as well. That there's a little Oscar statue, and he's moved around the business. So the Oscar statue is kind of, you know, one of our longest term serving employees, but he just makes his way around the business.
Oh, that's really amazing. That's really fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
I was going to ask if there's you have the annual values award, and is there a little ceremony each month that happens with this?
There is, absolutely. So at the company meeting, run by Christy Buchanan, our CEO, so she reads out all the Oscar nominations. So whether there be three for that month or 10, she'll read them all out. And then one or two or three may be chosen as the winner, and then they get presented with the Oscar. And I guess the icing on the cake that makes it even more special is the monthly Oscar winner wins something off their dream catcher. So the dream catcher, for some context on that, is when we get everyone to start at Red Balloon, we want to know them as individuals. With the whole recognition piece, we don't believe there's a one-size-fits-all solution. For example, someone might like public praise or private praise, and when it comes to, you know, giving people rewards, you can't just give everyone a bottle of wine and know that that's going to, you know, meet everyone's needs. So we get everyone to fill out, it's literally an A5 piece of paper, and there's potentially about 20 lines, and they can write what their dreams are. So whether that be, you know, an experience off the Red Balloon website to go on a Tiger Moth flight, or a voucher to go shopping, or a dinner experience, or any one of those kind of dream-like things, and the Oscar winner will get one of their dreams come true. So we'll buy them something off their dream catcher list, and the person who nominated them for the Oscar will give them their dream catcher. So I have to say, one of the special things that I love about my role is I get to choose what they get off their dream catcher. So that's a pretty special thing that I get to do.
That is so awesome. That happens every month.
Every month, absolutely. And I'm proud to say our CEO has literally just won the award for this month, and I'm currently in preparations for making one of her dreams come true. So it's very rarely that I'm allowed to award her with something, just in terms of, you know, her focus is on the rest of the business. But I superseded her at the company meeting and also named her as one of the winners. And she said in front of the whole company it was one of the highlights of her year. So that was pretty special.
I have to say that this whole story about dream catchers and the money of Oscar has touched me. I just feel like crying. It's so lovely.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you very much.
That's really special.
Yeah.
What else do you do for your staff in terms of incentives and rewards?
Yeah, so I guess the thing that we've built up over the years, it's about recognizing the little things and the big things. For example, you know, whether it's the little things of, I remember when we had air conditioners installed in the office, we celebrated that, but it's also the big thing. So if and when we achieve our EBITDA targets, that we'll celebrate with a company trip. So last year, I think there was about just over 40 of us that we went to Port Douglas for the weekend, and that was an amazing trip. And then we also have lots of Christmas celebrations. But to break it down on an individual team basis, we have a part of the business at Red Balloon is called RED, and it stands for Recognise Every Day. So Red Balloon, all about the experiences, and RED on recognition. And they have two products that we are used as guinea pigs, if you like, internally at Red Balloon. So we practice what we preach. So they have a toolkit. So there's little thank you notes, birthday cards, anniversary cards. So on when we talk about the little versus the big, so it might be as simple as giving someone a handwritten card on their desk for a job well done. Or through our online platform, it could be that you can distribute them points. So in our system, 1 point equals a dollar, and, you know, then you can build up dollars to go and spend on a Red Balloon experience or a shopping voucher or something like that. So there's lots of different ways in terms of big and little. And the key for me with the recognition, it's about personalising it to the individual. So in one of our systems that we have, I have a tab that's called favourites, and we ask people to go in and put their favourite things. So it might be, you know, favourite movies, favourite books, favourite snack, favourite beverage. And that way, when the team leader or a peer wants to do something special for someone or just to recognise someone, they can go in there and make sure that the recognition and the reward is tailored to the individual. And we've seen that as a really positive step time and time again for when someone gets something that really actually means something to them. And I had that happen to me recently. One of my favourite things in the world is a hot chocolate from Max Brenner. And I helped out one of my colleagues on a weekend by coming into the office. And one day, not long after, I got back to my desk and there was a hot chocolate on my desk. And Max Brenner is not an easy place to get to from our Piedmont office, so I knew that he went out of his way above and beyond to get that for me. And that made such an impact on me. So to the point that it happened a couple of months ago and I still remember and I'm telling you today. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah, makes it special.
So tell me a little bit about celebrating and the company's definition of success, like what success means to the company and how you actually celebrate. And you talked about celebrating little things and big things, and recognizing every day is kind of a culture of celebration as well. Can you tease that out a little bit more for me, please?
Yeah, I guess in terms of success, there'd be different levels of success. So in terms of an overall company success, so we are a privately owned business, so we do look at, you know, total turnover, EBITDA, bottom line, those kinds of things. So the metrics are a contributing factor to success. But if we can break it down on an individual level, the business functions in trimesters throughout a financial year, and each trimester everyone has what we call three personal promises. So you could liken it to an objective, a goal, or a KPI. And those personal promises are set as a metric promise, a learning promise, and a project promise. So in terms of tracking success and completion of those, that happens on a weekly basis. And each week, Christy, our CEO, kind of does a wrap-up of overall percentage completed. And we can see how the business is tracking towards essentially meeting our strategic goals for that trimester, because all those promises make up parts of the strategic plan. So we can really see that, you know, that we're reaching towards, at the end of the trimester, 100% completion and success rate based on how people are tracking on the individual contribution through their personal promises. So, and everyone, it's everyone's responsibility to update in terms of where their completion is at. And that's really visible across the whole company, so everyone can see where everyone's tracking. Throughout the trimester, changes might need to be made to people's personal promises, but the change will be in recognition that that change will impact the overall strategic plan. So, you know, we do have very much a high performance culture at Red Balloon in terms of wanting people to be the best that they can be. And in terms of how that links to success and performance, for us, we use the Gallup Strengths Finder. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Strengths work yet. So I actually, a couple of months ago, got certified in Strengths to provide coaching across the business in the philosophy that we want people to play to their strengths and manage around their weaknesses, because we believe if you're playing to your strengths and you're playing to more of what you're good at than spending time on trying to fix stuff that you're not good at, you have more potential to get into that state of flow, to get into that state of when you really feel like a winner. So we actively encourage, promote, and talk about people's strengths. And we're currently in the process of one of our trimesterly reviews, and the strengths language comes up a lot. So when people feel that they're playing to their strengths, they really feel like they're being successful. So success at Red Balloon, there's probably a combination of different factors, but mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, overall company targets, that personal promises piece and also getting people to play to their strengths would be probably the three key elements.
Oh, that's fantastic. I forgot to ask about the statistics. How long has Red Balloon been going, and how many employees do you have, and what's the gender balance?
Yeah, so since 2001, we've been in business for, so this year we're celebrating teenagehood, so we're entering the 13 this year, which we will celebrate. It will be a lot of fun. We have just over 60 people based in Pyrmont in New South Wales in our office. 60 people.
That's amazing. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm just going to pull up one of my reports. It'll tell you exactly our gender balance. I think it is... Sorry, I should have pulled this up earlier. We're on the 60-40 split, so 60 female and 40% male. Mm-hmm. And I think one really interesting factor at Red Balloon is in terms of our leadership team. It's a team of 9, and we have 1 male represented. So we're a very female-skewed, I'm not sure if that's the best word, but leadership team, which I'm really proud to be a part of, and obviously, you know, all reporting into Christy, our CEO. But the split across the rest of the business is 60-40.
That's really interesting. Just looking at the leadership team for just a nanosecond, having mm-hmm. one, how does your one lone man go on a team of 9?
He's good. Yeah.
He's all good with it.
He's all good. He's absolutely good, even throughout the recruitment process that we spoke about it. And I guess in terms of the reason that people have the roles that they have in the leadership team, and this goes across the whole business as well, is that, you know, the gender question isn't on the table. For me, it's always been about the best person for the job. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the way that we do have, you know, the 8-1 on the leadership team, it's not by any kind of equation or anything like that. It's the case of that we have the best people in the roles.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it great that you're at that stage where you can do that, where it's not, you've gone beyond the gender question to be able to talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, that stems out through the rest of the organisation as well in terms of, you know, when promotions happen in the business or we bring new people into the business, for me it's always a case of who is the best person based on technical and cultural fit for the role.
Mm. And I love how you pick cultural fit as well.
For me it's 50-50. So someone could have all the technical smarts in the world to do the role, but if they're not a cultural fit, they'll come in and the breakage that they could do to the culture is not worth the investment in that person. And we've seen that happen at Red Balloon. And I've seen that in my time here, and I've seen that in other businesses. So I learned very early on in my time at Red Balloon that culture piece is a 50%, it's 50% a part of the equation in the recruitment process.
And it's also, the research is also showing that it's 8 times more powerful than strategy.
Yes, wow.
Really remarkable. It's 8 times more important.
That's huge. Wow.
Mm. So I'm curious now, like knowing that about the culture and having it sort of front of mind and integrated into everything that you do, how do you actually track, do you track and monitor cultural health?
Yeah, so we've evolved this over the years. So when I started at Red Balloon, we used to have the annual employee cycle with way too many questions to remember. That for me wasn't a really good pulse check of the business. And we have also over time done Aon Hewitt, and absolutely delighted to have been listed on the BRW list 5 years in a row. But what we have done in the last 2 years has evolved the engagement piece into the employee Net Promoter Score. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Net Promoter Score.
Please explain it.
Yeah, sure. So we use the Net Promoter Score system for our customers and also within our supplier world as well. And we also wanted to translate into the employee experience, because we believe, you know, a stronger Net Promoter Score on the customer front, if we can link that through the employee side as well, because it is shown that sometimes your employees can be more critical of you than your customers because you live and breathe with them every day. So we implemented the Employee Net Promoter Score about 2 years ago. So we've got some really good data on that over the last 2 years. And I run that survey every trimester. So question being, how likely would you recommend Red Balloon as a place to work? And probably every second trimester or so, I'll add in an additional question. And the second question has actually turned out to be really powerful. One of the ones that I use is, how likely would you recommend, for example, Megan, as a person to work for? So it becomes a leadership tool as well in terms of the teams responding to if they would recommend their current team leader. And the way the Net Promoter, in terms of the 0 to 6 being a detractor, 7 to 8 a passive, and 9 to 10 a promoter. And for the last 2 years, I'm really proud that our ENPS has remained a consistent at 85%, which in terms of some of the data and facts that I've been able to find on a worldwide scale, that's definitely right up there. So really proud of that.
Oh, yeah, as you should be.
Really. And the other thing that we do is, in terms of scrapping the annual employee survey, is added in more kind of pulse checks. So, for example, I'll ask if I feel that we need feedback in this given moment, we'll ask it. And as the surveys that I send out will be no more than mainly sometimes 2 questions. And the feedback that I'm asking for is, you know, after the Christmas party, what did you think about that? After we did this event, what did you think? We've just finished this training cycle, what did you think? So it's a constant stream of feedback rather than that one-off annual loop that sometimes takes too long to analyse, and then people have forgotten even what they said. So for us, it's that more regular, continuous feedback that really leads to the evolution of the employee experience at Red Balloon.
And are your surveys anonymous, or are they tracked to the individual?
They are. They are not. So 12 months ago, I implemented where we started asking for people's names, and a little bit controversial when it first started. And the reason for that is, in terms of a business of 60 people, we are very open and transparent across our financials, across strategy, across changes that happen across the business. And I fundamentally believe if we're that transparent, people can be that transparent back to us.
So more likely than not, people will put in their names, and if they've got any, you know, questions or queries or anything they want followed up, I can get back to them immediately. And so that's actually worked really, really well.
So you're basically troubleshooting as well.
At the same time, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than waiting for once a year.
Do you think the culture has changed or is evolving, or are there elements that stay the same?
I think the one constant with the Red Balloon culture will forever and always be our values. And sometimes, you know, the definition, the stories that happen around the values, that'll be an ever evolving journey. I think absolutely. What else can I think of? Can you just repeat the question again?
So, does the culture change and evolve, or does it stay constant? So you picked out.
Sorry, yeah. So the constant definitely being the values, but I think when new people join Red Balloon, they're going to bring a little bit of themselves. So I think, you know, with every new person that joins the team, when new team members meet other team members, that there's always kind of new friendships and new thought patterns that are always going to be forming and changing. And I think that is a healthy and positive sign of a culture, that when someone new comes, that they can adapt, but they can also put their own stamp on it. So, yeah, so the values definitely being the constant thread, but the culture will forever evolve at Red Balloon, and I think that's a really good thing.
And that's a really sensible thing, too, to try and think that you can control the culture.
No, absolutely not. One of the other constant that I would say that would be in there would be in the responsibility of our people leaders in the business, in terms of, you know, making sure that, you know, the history of Red Balloon and those stories continue to live, but the people leaders and the team leaders can add new stories into that as well. I think that's really important.
So it's passing of legend.
Absolutely,
like oral,
yes.
Is it an oral history?
There's a lot of stories, yes. Pardon?
Is it an oral history, or are they documented? Yeah, like, is it written down?
Yeah, so we have an online induction program that has a timeline on the evolution and some of the stories of Red Balloon, and our values, the original stories from the values, are kind of in there, so any new person that comes can really get to know them a little bit better. So we've got a few different ways of documenting that, and, you know, it's always, you know, for example, today, just so you know, I'm sitting here talking to you in a Christmas sweater, we're having Christmas in July, and we had, you know, pizza and salad and chocolate fondue for lunch. And it's those kind of stories that happen, you know, when people are sitting across from each other at lunch, that create new stories. And those are often the times where people talk about the old stories and the old times as well. So it's a really good balance and combination of the old world and the new world.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah,
this is why I get up and come to work every day.
Absolutely. So, you know, you have a fascinating job. What's your personal favorite part of it?
Oh, my personal favorite part. I probably have two. I would say it's the people that I work with on a daily basis. So, you know, I see most people in the business on a daily basis. We're split across, you know, two main different office spaces, but it's about getting up and having the opportunity and talking to people. I've recruited about 90% of the company. So I'm pretty proud of that I know people's stories. I know where they've come from. I know that, you know, if something new and exciting is happening in their life, that Red Balloon is going to be a part of that, whether it's a baby or a marriage or an engagement or something like that. That's really exciting. So it's the people and the connections that are pretty amazing. And the other thing that I probably really like is the autonomy and the capacity for innovation, that if I find something new or exciting that, you know, another business is doing, and whether or not I can apply it at Red Balloon, or, you know, just walking down the street and having a random idea of something that we could do for a celebration, that I have that trust and responsibility from Christy and the leadership team that I can go ahead and implement that. And that doesn't happen in every business. I'm sure there's definitely a few that does happen in, but that autonomy to do those kind of amazing things that's built up a lot of these stories that I can now share with the employee experience over the years, that's pretty precious.
So there was one other thing that we talked about just before we got onto the interview, when we were just before we start the formal part. We're talking about the five pillars of well-being that Naomi, the founder, established as part of the culture. And then you talked about specifically that you had your own six pillars that expanded on that from a employee experience perspective. Can you just tell us a little bit about those and how they inform your work?
Yeah, sure. So a couple of years ago, I created an employee experience framework, which really sets the scene and tells the story for what makes up people's days at work from the employee experience perspective. So the six pillars being welcome, flow, tools, grow, appreciate, and wellness. The welcome piece is all about the recruitment piece. So it's recruiting based on our values, making sure that they underpin everything that we do. And also it goes from, you know, that it's not about just the recruitment process, but it's about how we onboard people into the business. So on their first day, some people have worked in businesses before when the computer's not set up and no one knows their name. But for us, it's all about making sure that day one, you feel really welcome. So there's a sign on the front door. You have a buddy that's going to show you around. You have a monthly catch up with me for the first couple of months to make sure that there's that sense of inclusion. We find that that's really important. That's been really effective. The second part of the pillar is all about flow. So we have a really simple yet structured communication flow that happens across the business. And that's all about making sure that everyone understands the what, the why, and the how we deliver on our purpose. In terms of the purpose for us is all about our happiness revolution. So the leadership team meeting is at 9:30 first thing every Monday morning. That information then cascades down to team meetings, and then each team member has a weekly or a fortnightly one-on-one with their team leader to talk about what they're working on, any roadblocks they might have, and just anything else in general. The third part is called tools. So this is all about making sure that people have the right tools and the space to do their job, making sure that there's places in the office to think. We have a little mini library set up. And in terms of just the overall feel and vibe of the office, making sure that that's a place that people want to work in. And then the final three are probably the biggest and most important for me once you arrive at Red Balloon. And the fourth is grow. So that's all about making sure that people's performance is measured, challenged, and stretched. And we do that through a number of ways, from trimesterly performance reflections, like a review, the personal promises that I spoke about earlier, our leadership development program, and also work with the Gallup strengths. And I'm also certified in HBDI, so Herman Brain Dominance Instrument. So they're the two main profiling tools that we use at Red Balloon. Mm-hmm. The fifth part of the pillar is all about appreciate. So that's the reward and recognition piece, whether that be through some meals, people going off to do free experiences, our online platform called Red Hot Rewards, or major company-wide celebrations that we have. And the sixth part is all about wellness. So that's all about creating a balance between the inside and outside of work through our Red Balloon Wellness Program, our Community Happiness Program, where we're currently in partnership with a business called Australian Business Network, which is providing mentoring programs to high-needs high schools and primary schools. And one of the key parts of wellness is all about being a truly flexible workplace. So, you know, flexibility isn't just for mothers or for fathers. It's about, you know, if I needed to take my cat to the vet, I could, but it's about the quality of my work, just not the hours that I'm worked. So those six parts of the framework, so those six pillars of the framework really tell the story as to what it's like to work at Red Balloon and what you can expect. And again, they're all underpinned by our values.
That is just fantastic, and thank you for being so generous and sharing that publicly.
No, my pleasure.
That is, and you know already that that corporate culture is the main competitive advantage any organization can have, and it's
crafted
within and creates that wonderful, unique experience for both the employees and your suppliers and your customers. And it's so wonderful to see it so clearly articulated and so integrated and so obviously cherished by you and by the people that you work with. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it stems from Naomi as our founding director, but through in terms of, you know, Christy on a daily basis, in terms of, you know, we're all one team, and it's that whole bottom down, top up. So, you know, that through the values and the trust that everyone has from each other and the way that Christy, you know, sets the strategy, that we're all so aligned with, you know, her expectations of the business, but everyone gets to set their own expectations. And yeah, this is nothing that I've ever seen in a place that I've worked before, and I've been working for, you know, in the real world, as I'd say, for over 10 years. So I'm very lucky. I'm very aware of that.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like a fantastic job. So
yeah, I pinch myself, yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful... You know what? We spend so much time at work, so much of our lives at work, and being able to enjoy it is such an important thing. And it's fabulous.
Absolutely.
That there's places out there that are doing the right thing and doing an amazing job, which sounds like you guys are.
Thank
so
you.
My last question for you is, what advice do you have for any other organization, how to create this enviable, fantastic place of being? So what would be your one key step?
Oh, like a starting point. I would say that if it's a business that focuses just on profit, that people need to be a 50% element to that. That, you know, do you recognize your people? Do you have values? Do you develop your people? And maybe even a starting point before that, if you do really want to focus on your people, don't be afraid to talk to them. So don't be afraid to ask the questions that you might not want to hear the answer to, because by doing that, if you do want to shift and change and shape your culture, sometimes asking the really hard questions will give you really positive results in the long run.
Very sage advice.
Thank
and I
you.
Think that's an important one for leaders, because sometimes we shy away from hearing the bad news because it doesn't
Absolutely.
Feel very nice.
Yeah, tough conversations are really hard, but it's not to say that, you know, sometimes they need to happen for a reason. So, yeah.
Megan, thank you so much for sharing all these pearls of wisdom. I've taken a mountain of notes.
Oh,
and
my
I'm
pleasure.
Sure,
absolute pleasure.
Fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to sharing this interview with a wider audience so other people can benefit from the Red Balloon wisdom and amazing pioneers in their field.
Too kind.
And, I'm very proud of Red Balloon for being an Australian company and doing so well. And
thank you very much.
Being such a light amongst the darkness.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your time also.
All right. Thanks.